This is the regular commissioners meeting for San Juan County Fire District for August the 16th, 2022. I'd like to call this meeting to order. See all the commissioners are present. Do we have any additions or changes to the agenda?
None from staff.
None from staff?
No.
Okay. I see we got some citizens correspondence. Two letters were written to us thanking us for our service on Mount Dallas for the two fires that we had up there. I also want to express my gratitude for the hard work that the firefighters did in extinguishing both those fires in what can be very taxing conditions when you're dealing with heat. We've had some hot weather, and I think they did a great job.
Would also echo in on that to recognize the support members that were out doing water rehab and otherwise in the partnership with DNR on the first Mount Dallas fire. So they not only were able to spool up a helicopter for us that they refilled numerous times. They used the full tank of fuel to help us put it out to make sure that our firefighters didn't have to have additional resources called to take care of them. And they also sent a crew out the next day to do mop up and make sure that the stuff was out so that we didn't have to babysit it all day. They went through and did that since when I called it in, and it was threatening trees that gave us into DNR territory, which was perfect. And visiting with the person that took David Way's position since he got a promotion to, is it district now? Because I think district is above where he was. So now he's over that. I was able to talk to the new individual that took his place directly. And they like, not that they like to have fires, but if we have a need to call them, because they're trying to justify keeping the helicopter in the base that it is in the region. So it played out really well, even though it was one of those tried to call them off if we didn't need them. They were already flying overhead, so we went ahead and used them, and it played out well. So good partnerships and communication all the way around. And we also got some of our people with checkoffs.
Great.
Because I had them talking ground to air. So some things that are generally pretty hard to get checked off on your wildland task books, they were able to do some of that as well.
That's good.
You just didn't get any treats that came with those two cards.
Yeah.
Crews took care of that.
In short order.
Both of them brought some very delectable things with them, and they didn't need to, but they did.
Yeah, it's always nice when they do that. Okay.
And then that one.
Huh?
And then that is the other.
Oh, that's the other thing, yes. San Juan County, San Juan County Concourse de Elegance was held over the weekend on Sunday. And was held out at the winery, and the 1923 Cadillac fire engine that the town of Friday Harbor owns, but has been gracious enough to let us display it at times, won second place in the antique division. And I thought that was really neat. So we've got a red ribbon, and I was told there's a plaque coming, or not a plaque, but a
trophy of
sorts that's coming also.
Cool.
So I saw what it looked like, but it wasn't.
Wouldn't be great.
It wasn't the one for that division. It was for somebody else. But they promised me that we'd be getting it shortly. So we'll see what happens. But that was nice. Okay, moving on. Are there any corrections to the minutes for the regular meeting, July 12th, 2022? Anybody see anything? Nothing from everybody? Okay. So do I have a motion to approve the minutes?
I'll make a motion to approve July 12, 2022 minutes.
And I'll second that motion.
Okay, we have a motion, a second. Any discussion? Okay, all in favor, say aye.
Aye.
Aye. Okay, that passes unanimously. All right, let's move on to bills and payroll.
Okay. Before, if you want to go over bills first, I'd be happy to answer any questions of what you have on the current, both reserve fund, which is the standard piece for the lease on the safe boat, and then any questions on the other invoices.
Your luncheon with Bank of America, what was that?
Which one? Oh.
Bottom of page three.
Page three.
Lunch for the fire chiefs.
Oh, we had, in getting together to meet with new assistant chief Bishop, we got together, had some coordination stuff out at Roach, and we hosted the lunch.
Okay, what did Bank of America have for the evening?
It's on the purchase card.
That's a credit card.
Oh, that's the credit. I thought you were borrowing money or something.
Nope, that was just on the purchase card for that.
And so, and who was assistant chief Bishop?
Yes, so he's the new assistant chief for San Juan EMS.
Oh, that's right.
TJ, yes, TJ Bishop, yep.
How's he doing? You guys having a good flow?
Yeah, he's doing good interaction between Noel and he. Some of the pieces that we've been working on for a while, they're continuing to move forward with stuff. I think it's good interactions with him. Hearing good things and good collaboration, coordination. We have texts back and forth on different calls. After we finished that one lunch, we were talking about how he's a black cloud, similar to how I'm a black cloud. Dwight was on that call. We were clearing the call and we're out at Roach. There's a stroke call that came in close by and we all responded out, and I'm surprised we didn't scare the patient since you had all the chief officers from both organizations show up. We showed up first. Exactly. We got there, started providing care, and ambulance showed up, was able to transfer them off to helicopter support because that's the guidelines. You know, you want to get for strokes, it's similar to cardiac and traumas. We focus on that 1 hour timeline to save brain tissue. Yeah. And so it was good. Good timing, good coordination. Everybody got and worked well together. And they were able to fly them off of the landing strip over at Roach. So good outcome for the patient as well.
Where's that landing strip?
It's the runway right across from.
Oh, that's right. Yeah. Okay.
Yeah.
I'm trying to picture something else. You know,
it's the one right across from the
helicopter. They have three helicopter fans there.
Yeah, there's one. Somebody has a helicopter that's out there all the time.
Just for information, speaking of strokes, always fly strokes off from now because PMIC is not considered. They're not even on the list for stroke victims.
Yep. That cardiac, they all fly. Find a place to go.
Yeah. Stroke is automatic.
Right.
Okay. I didn't really see anything out there. So one thing that struck my eye was rainproof paper.
Yes. So support group was putting together the victims assistance plan. We wanted to have something that when the fire's out, that they can work on scene of a structure fire, residential predominantly, right? And we want them to be able to have some information to give the fire victims, and then as well as to write some stuff like where are some of the valuables that we need to go in and find. And otherwise, we wanted to make sure that it was, if we were writing on stuff, that when they brought it over to command, that you could read it, right? So we bought right in the rain paper for them to print out the information that they had put together on a double-sided piece, print it out, fold it up, and then we'll be able to use it as part of the jump kit that's in all the command rigs. So there's rehab stuff, there's victim liaison, fire liaison. That's one of the roles that support group is taking on. This was one of their goals that when we sat down and said, you're so much more than food unit. What are some other things you'd like to get into? This was one of them. So they took that research both from the national level. How do we tie in information from U.S. Fire Administration, from Red Cross, to examples of what organizations have done around the country, put together a package. We put it on right in the rain paper, and now it's being delivered out to the crews. Like I said, it sits on the command rig, so if we need to use it on a structure fire, we can. So that's what that paper was for.
Great. Okay. All right. We've voted and passed the bill so we can move on?
I don't think you have. You had dialogue and questions.
Okay, sorry.
I'm making a motion to pay the bills and payrolls.
I'll second it.
Okay, I have a motion and a second on paying bills and payroll. Any discussion? No discussion. All those in favor?
Aye.
Passage unanimously. Okay, on to new business.
The only thing you have on that is the board policy review for new business. As I had mentioned last time, what I have before you is the review for the forward section. There were no changes recommended through that. And then in the first section, which is the governance section, there were just a couple spots of one, like if you look at 1.2, it was update of the commissioner timeframes.
We don't have that.
No, that.
I asked you if I should make copies and you said no.
Because it was all online for them to review ahead of time. We can make copies of it. This was first reading, so the only thing we'll make copies of it for you. It was all posted up online, which is okay. No, just three is fine.
Okay, make three.
So at your leisure, go ahead and review. It was all either move a period, update a date. There were only three or four of them that had any changes whatsoever. Since this was first reading and there weren't any substantial changes, no major additions to them. If you review them and then next meeting, we'll have it as second reading that if you don't have any additional changes, go ahead and let me know and then you guys can approve it on that. And we'll just continue to work through each of the sections. So once these are approved and done, we'll move on to section two, and depending upon how many changes we may do two together like we did with this one. But open for feedback, any changes you guys all have. But like I said, on the first one, which is governance, and the opening, there were really only some just touch bases on two of the commissioner positions because it had the dates. So we just had to update to when those actually change around. Other than that, there were no changes to existing board policy.
Okay.
So we'll get copies of those for you to review later.
Yep. No old business?
No, we had none coming forward.
I guess we can move on to staff reports.
Staff report, starting on the financials. Target for year to date is the 58%. As you can see, we are at 73% for revenues, and we are under budget on materials and services and personnel costs at 53% overall. You can see where we are year to date. So total ending fund balances of everything put together is approximately $733,000. 110 through the end of July.
Okay.
Yes.
Where did you say we want to be?
58%.
58% is where we want to be. Okay.
Yep. Yeah, and I always try to put that up at the top of the budget tables. It's up there. So
If I'm reading this correctly, then we've brought in more than our 58%. So we've actually collected more in revenue.
Yes.
See, I hear a butt coming.
Well, as you know, our revenue is tax-based, right?
Yeah.
So when it comes to revenues, while the target is 58%, I would use that to track your expenditures, not your revenues, because you'll get a big bucket at the beginning of the year from tax revenue, and then the next one will be, correct me if I'm wrong, we'll expect something around late September, early mid-October is when we start getting the next little buckets that come in, and then by November.
Okay. And one of the reasons why the 63% is higher, when my wife pays the taxes, she pays for the whole year. She doesn't want to deal with the second thing.
Right. So some do, some don't. So that's why I would say your focus is on your expenditures.
Yeah. I got the impression that the target was for our whole budget, everything here, to be within that 58% range. So we haven't spent more than 58% of what our budget's to be.
Correct.
Okay, so we're here with the 8th month, and we're, you know, this is just,
yeah, I get it. We're under. So
right. So
yeah,
overall,
but I'm just saying that when we look at this, we say, okay, there's the revenue, but our whole expenditures.
No, we're in line.
We're got plenty of room. That's what I was talking to. It's nice to look at this and see that hey, there's plenty of room left.
Yeah.
Correct.
To, you know, so.
Right, so yeah, that, you're absolutely correct, is that you want to be at 50, this is the target, so if we're looking at expenditures, you want to be at 58% of the budget now of what you've adopted for the time, and that's where it's shown overall, we're at 53%, you can see the specific breakdowns, correct. Then you have the specifics for the month of July. You can see total fund assets on page one, fund balances are on page two, and you can see where those are for LOSAP, general fund and reserves, and then the expenditures on the final page. There wasn't anything that jumped out. We still have occasional ones that come in mid-year on insurances and otherwise, but they're right in line with where would be expected. We did have a little bit of overtime that came in as we're going about fighting the fires, but it's still within line and within projected and anticipated budget. Be happy to answer any questions on the financials. Other than what's already been drawn out. And we will continue to post these when we do the minutes and otherwise as well as the recordings.
Just a curiosity question. Mm-hmm. You know, the $14,500 investment, what do we invest in?
That's the pool account, state pool account. So it's whatever the state county puts in, we have zero control over that. So it's whatever little interest we get.
That's what I'm getting at. Yeah.
Yes. It's really low right now. And it's whatever the county and the state put everyone's money, you would think that it would get. The last about year and a half, 2 years, it has been abysmal in what we get back on that. And when we asked, is there other ways that you can take and invest in other places? They say, nope, it's part of the pool account and it's managed through the county as a junior taxing district. And we have zero say. Robin might be able to explain better since she worked with some of that at the county, but we have, that's basically.
Yeah, the treasurer is the one who invests it, just like you said, into a pool account. And yeah, you don't have any say over it.
Yeah, it seems, I mean, there's so many safe things you can take and put, especially that, I mean, we're just a very small part of that pool.
Mm-hmm.
Right.
Can you imagine, I mean, 2-3% would be easy, but.
Oh, yeah.
But this is what we invest, is 14.5, that's what we put in?
No, that's what was in the fund at the time. So as we have more, we can shift it from general operating numbers into, it all goes into our general fund amount. It's either cash on hand or investments.
Right, I see that, but I'm saying is how much money, I'm just, again, I'm curious, how much money do we put into this?
Whatever we adjust off. So right now we have 14.5 put in and the rest is cash. The reserve where it has interest as well or investment, it's the same. So it's whatever we've allocated to move into those investment accounts. And what I try to do is make sure we have enough so we don't have to keep moving it back and forth. We keep enough for operating expenses and then the rest we would push over into investment. But we've been trying to run slim and lean in our general fund that's lower than we have been. And then we keep more of it down in the investment pool down on the reserve fund.
Where is our cash fund kept?
General.
No, I mean, but physically, where is it?
The county has all of it.
The county has everything.
Banner Bank.
Banner Bank holds everything for the county.
And what does Banner Bank give us in interest?
We don't get anything other than what the county gives us.
Yeah.
Which is zero on our regular money that's sitting there. The only money that we ever get any in is on that investment money.
That's usually 0.1%.
Yeah.
I know.
$1.45, huh?
Yeah.
Yeah.
That's terrible.
Terrible. Yep.
Especially now because interest rates are going up.
No, they're going back down again.
Oh, are they?
We'll see what happens. Remember, this is July.
Yeah.
So maybe August might be a little better. We'll see. I'm not holding it in breath.
It's a base party.
And we're in the same proverbial boat that everybody else is.
Oh, yeah.
Right. So the county's in the exact same spot. I would think that if as county, you would want to say, can't we invest otherwise? And, you know, coming from other states that like Oregon, you can change out and say, no, we're going to manage our own. And it goes into a different pool account that has different investment wise to try to grow your investment, to be good stewards of the tax dollar. This is just how Washington's working in their pool accounts. I wish we could do better because we could obviously, like you were saying, we could take those funds and have a much better return, but we can't.
You might get up to 1% more than I have, even like, I just did a bunch of corporate bonds and it was around 3. And you're investing for 2 years, 3 years, 4 years.
You would think with that pool of money from across the state that we would have a better return. You really would.
But there's so much money out there right now that the country is awash with money.
Sure.
Really?
Yeah.
Why doesn't anybody give me stuff?
I don't know.
Okay. Okay. So anything else on financials? All right, we move on to the operations report.
So ops and fleet and otherwise.
And otherwise, yes.
From the fleet standpoint, everything is in line with where we want for hose testing, vehicles. TAD continues to work on write-ups and otherwise. From a regional perspective, the agencies are still working on figuring out the reverb and everything else and pager systems from the Codan radio system. So that's all still being worked on. So from the operations report, you have that in front of you. So I'll report on that for Chief Monin. You can see that last month ran a total of 112 calls. Response reaction time was right at the 90 seconds that we request. As he's called out in the verbiage on the next page, that travel time actually has been down, and that's because we've had some back-to-back calls. So when the engine is on the air, which is a positive piece, they can immediately get out the door. The other thing that he calls out is that as we look at a system of providing care, if we can free up the engine company to go on the next call while San Juan EMS gets another transport vehicle ready to go, then we can get some care to the patient sooner while they're continuing to be packaging and transport and otherwise, so the system works as it should. And that's what it's showing on how our numbers are going and the response times and travel times are going. As you see, that we're running approximately 3.6 responses per day. So we are having good hour utilization from that standpoint. We did have the two fires on Mount Dallas. Both of them were unintentional. The other one was the second one, because of his neighbors, he wanted to try to reduce some of that fuel load. And as he put it, everything was said. He was trying to be proactive. It sparked as he was mowing to lower the amount of grasses, went to grab his extinguisher that he had right there with him. And by the time he got back, it was a little bigger than he has anticipated. And then you have it. And we responded on a second fire within 3 days up on Mount Dallas. That has sparked, no pun intended, a little greater conversation about how can we make our community safer? How can we do some more firewise planning? Because as you know, most of Mount Dallas is a firewise community. It's also spurred additional conversation, not only here, but we just had a fire defense board call earlier today, and they're getting more conversation on Lopez and Orcas. And since we have more of an organized program, I offered out that if we need to use Kathleen Salinas and some others of our FireWise team to help get Lopez spooled up or some more support over on Orcas, we'll do that. So then we'll continue to try to provide support from FireWise communities across the county as need be in part partnership. Have had some good dialogue with Chad Kimple as the new fire marshal for the county on how do we coordinate things, how do we educate out, and we're looking at having consistent communication as we go forward for fire danger level, as well as if we do have a drying trend and we need to do a countywide burn ban. How do we communicate that, and how are we consistent between the fire marshal's office and all the individual entities? Shift crews are staying busy as they're doing their routine stuff and dual road training. Station inspections, they've been getting out and doing all their quarterly inspections and monthly inspections at the other stations. They're spooling up on pub and events. They're at the fair, obviously, right now. And so that is going well. Admin-wise, I think he had what training we had done. They've been working on wildland responses, hose deployment, progressive lays, and repetitively getting that skill set down as they move forward. Everyone's gone through their mask and APR, so their breathing apparatus checks quantitatively. We rent that as a county. We went in together and we said, okay, we will go ahead and rent these out because it was cheaper than buying the $10,000 piece of equipment that we needed. Because we can rent it for the 3-week period of time for all of the agencies to do what they need to do. And it completes within that 3 weeks, and we get the whole product and we just move it one spot to the next island, to the next island, and it's taken care of. So my wife, I think Lainey just came in and she might need something.
Thank you.
Other than that, that's what we have for staff reports. Be happy to answer any questions that you all have.
How about the safe boat project?
Safe boat, we are on.
I meant the call you had here on the.
Which one did he call out?
You made your first patient transport.
Successfully performed.
I know which one that was. So we're up working the Mount Dallas fire, and a stroke on a boat in Garrison Bay came in. Okay. So we were able to, we had a Station 35 had spooled up resources. They were moved up to station here to cover call volume. They were all heading out as dispatch had towards Garrison Bay, as it kind of sounded like, I'm like, is this in the bay or at a port? And it turned out to be in the bay. So we were able to divert down to the port, grab our boat as law enforcement, because Sentinel is out of service. They were bringing Guardian over and grab EMS resources. Everyone got on the boat, got out, were able to provide patient care in Garrison Bay. And from timing wise, we're able to transfer them off to the safe boat, get into Roach, and again, fly them to appropriate from the stroke potential. Okay. We had another one that we were able to grab a cardiac event. No transport happened, but we were able to go and provide patient care, not with a positive outcome. That was a last known GPS location, boat on autopilot. We're able to go out and find somewhere in the middle of the strait, and we're able to raft off to that boat, provide care. Guardian came over, rafted off to the other side. So we had a very robust medical response, and then we're able to take care of the individual's vessel to get it back in till Tow US could bring it all the way back into port. Okay. So good coordination, good communication between the entities here, us, EMS, law enforcement, and then because it was in the strait, we were able to communicate off with Coast Guard. They sent a quick cutter in to help support us if we needed, and they had offered if we needed to do a Coast Guard chopper to transport patient off, but we couldn't. So, but good communication all the way around. Dwight was actually on the call and got to take his inaugural ride on the fire boat as well on that response.
Yeah, I think it's important to note that those kind of calls are good. We're going to need that boat because the Sentinel is staying over on Orcas. And
Guardian.
Yeah, the Guardian is staying on Orcas, and so we had nothing here.
Is that all out of service forever?
Completely.
I have no idea how long it was taken out of service with no
slip and everything. I don't even know where it is.
Probably in Bellingham.
But yes, I think that we're going to have to do that because that's such a long, he's talking about out in the strait. You know, they came long, that was, we had to search for this boat. And even then, they came along thereafter.
So safe boat, EMS was on the safe boat, yes, okay.
On both of those, yeah.
Do we have a interlocal agreement? We gotta do something, gotta get that done.
Yeah, it's, and I think with Chief Bishop.
Yeah, we gotta get an interlocal agreement, so, I mean, just.
And we need to have it set, because if you look at the safe boat that we have on order goes to the cutter November 9th. And it would be proactive to have everything set in line prior to. We're going to continue to work together, we're going to continue to respond on these, and regardless. Even if Sentinel comes back into service before we get the other one, which is questionable at best, right? I think that because of the response capabilities and maneuverability in our current safe boat, that shoots out faster. We can get from the port to our northern islands that both of our agencies protect in 15 to 20 minutes. That's way faster than Sentinel ever could. So we need to put crews on, and if it's an ALS patient, put a medic on with the crew, go out, start to provide patient care, and then figure out the transport part after we're providing care, whether it's an air resource or a water resource.
For instance, the one at Garrison Bay.
Mm-hmm.
I was down at the port waiting for the boat, the sheriff's boat to come in. I got in the boat with all the equipment, and we weren't 100 yards from the dock when the safe boat showed up with the guy and the stroke patient, because they had gotten there. It took that long to get the boat over here.
And we took a medic on safe boat out to do care at the time, which is appropriate.
Yeah. Okay, we just, like I say, we gotta get.
So we'll start up that conversation with Chief Bishop. There's been a number of things on his docket, a number of things I have on Noel's docket. So, and we'll combine that. I'll talk to Nathan, and yeah, we got to come up with something, because this is going to continue.
We're probably limited with this boat as far as patient, I mean.
Patient care is not the best.
Can you get a stretcher on that thing somehow?
No, but we can put a backboard on, but it's not conducive for patient care. If we have to, we will, but it's not conducive for.
It's better to do as the chief was saying. We get there, start providing the care that's necessary, and then the sheriff's boat at this time can show up. And that's not really good patient boat either, but it's better.
Yeah.
I mean, but.
So we will continue to work.
There's not a good solution, and if we can finish making it through the summer, we'll be lucky.
Yeah.
So we'll work on that, an ILA between the two of us to make sure that that's taken care of. And yeah, know that both ops chief for here and ops chief for San Juan EMS are making this work.
It'll be one interlocal for this boat, and we're going to do a little different when we get the second.
My suggestion from a governance standpoint, we will have one interlocal that says, here's how we work between. There may be components that we don't use until we get the other transport capable boat, but I think it would be, we're going to need legal as part of it. I would say let's control that. So if we make it that is contemplated on what we need now, what we're going to need for the future, that's going to say why I would change it later.
When we start transporting patients, doesn't that give us a different?
No.
I mean,
and you can't.
Is our insurance? We can't
cover everything. We can't transport patients.
The new boat will be.
Let me clarify that. No ambulance can transport on the water. We will move patients. We will use San Juan EMS to help do patient care, but it basically falls under the fire department purview that says if we need to move a patient, we can commandeer anything we need.
Okay.
So there's two components, right? We have patient care component, and then there's moving a person component, right? Because lack and otherwise, the Department of Health chose not to grandfather in the only transport capable marine unit in the state, which was what we had on Sentinel. We had it grandfathered in last review. They said, no, we're not doing that. And this was about a year and a half ago, and no one, because there's other agencies around the state that are doing it, but don't want the constraints over if you're an ambulance, you must meet these things, right? So the argument that was put in, the Department of Health supported and said, okay, well, we're fine with that, because the extreme argument was, well, then we're going to have to certify snowmobiles and UTVs and yada, yada, yada. So they said, yeah, this is too much work. Even though we had already talked, we being San Juan EMS, San Juan Fire, said, well, we'll talk to FAA and the groups, because we had some expertise people that helped put together what the certification is for an air ambulance. We were going to overlay that for a marine ambulance. And it didn't happen, right? We can still move patients, and we will still move patients, because there's no other way to take care of our citizens. But it's not an ambulance transport, right?
So we need to stay away from that.
There's no, yeah, we have to, because there's no legal piece for it, but we will still move patients appropriately to take care of them. And it's going to be a partnership. So we have to write that from a governance standpoint.
I'm like a lawyer. So
it is.
Last question.
Sir.
Did you have the patient on the backboard?
No. He could sit.
Oh, he could sit.
Yeah, the medic got there, the symptoms of the stroke had passed.
Oh, okay.
They had completely passed.
Yeah.
It was a left-sided stroke, but by the time Weishan got there, that's why she put him on the boat, because it was all gone, and she said, we got to get him out of here before something else happens, because another stroke followed right behind that one.
Sure.
So she put him on the boat, brought him in, and we flew him.
Okay.
So, and then just so advice for all of you as we go down these roads, we got to be really careful of what conversations we have. Make sure we don't cross any HIPAA stuff, which didn't happen. Just want to reiterate that we've got to be careful what is board and governance and ops and HIPAA. We just need to be careful on that as we're having dialogues here.
I have one more question.
Mm-hmm.
How's the structure or whatever needs to be done to get us in fire inspections in town?
Had some dialogue with legal as to what RCW says and otherwise, and then had some additional conversation with town administrator and the fire marshal for the town. They are all for getting into an interlocal with us for us to start to be doing some of those inspections as well as investigations. So we're in the process of that. We don't have an ILA drafted up. That's what we're going to need in order for them to relinquish that to us. But we are making steps forward to be able to start to do that. But we don't have anything to bring for you yet as an ILA, because the piece with the investigation side, we're going to be on the scene anyway. So my recommendation was they relinquish that to us. We take care of the investigation part. But when it comes to the inspection part, we want some cost recovery remuneration. And we're working on what does that look like. And they're all supportive, and they agree that something needs to be done, and there needs to be some funds coming our way to take on that responsibility. So that's what we're working through. And then we'll get verbiage in an ILA. We'll come before you all as we continue with steps forward.
Yeah. Any idea what? Because I think this is so important that we've got it pretty much at the top of the list.
Right.
Because it's just needs to be done.
Absolutely. Absolutely.
Been on our list for how many years? 20?
Yeah. Well,
10?
Well, you all had control of it when you had the fire marshal's office out of here.
Right.
Now it creates it a little more RCW that falls under the town or the county. And most places around the state, as we got some feedback from legal counsel who's done this numerous times, is they needed an ILA that gives it to the fire department, right? Which is why with the town, this is an easy thing, because the fire marshal, that's not his bailiwick, that will be ours. And so we're just working through those pieces, and they have to relinquish that unless they want to keep it, and then they're on the hook and responsible for it.
Yeah.
Right.
I don't think the previous governance in town was forward in either.
They were, because they had someone that was assigned to it.
Yeah.
But I don't let's be open about all of it, though. I don't think anyone really understood the nuances of all of it. And because it's one of those proverbial, chief picked up a rock, now we need to go through and make sure it's right. So we did get legal interpretation from legal counsel that says, here's what you need to do, here's what RCW says, and I will help work through the rest of it, and we'll go into those nuances, which is why working with the town is the best place to start. And Ryan and Denise are all for it. And it'll be a good partnership because they will keep the permitting side of things, they'll keep the technical inspection side of things. We'll take a more company level, and we are going to do some training on that to get them into it, and then we'll take on the investigation side. But honestly, if we have another fire like we did, which knock on wood will be another decade from now, we will still need to work with arson partners from the region, our county fire marshal, and greater in order to take care of more complex things. A straightforward room and content where someone says, here's what I did, or it's a kitchen fire, and they tell us, and it fits what it is. There's no reason we can't take that on and take care of it. It's just when it becomes more complex, we need to bring more.
I think annexation is what pushed it over the hill.
Absolutely. Absolutely. Yep. So we're on it. Don't have anything right now, but it's on the top of our list. And we're working directly with them on it.
Thank you.
That's good. Good to hear.
Yeah.
That we all think that that's very important. For not only the town, but also for ourselves and moving forward. Okay.
That's what we have for staff reports.
Staff reports are done?
Yep.
Okay. There's no reason to go into executive session.
Nope.
So before I make a or look for a motion to adjourn, any comments from the commissioners?
Didn't Carl have anything there?
Well, no, I think it was covered in the offer.
Okay.
Hey,
I'd say.
Okay. You good?
Okay,
great. All right. So do I have a motion to adjourn?
Go move.
And a second?
Second.
Okay, so I have a motion and a second. There's no discussion. Meeting is adjourned.
Wait.
And 15:42.